Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to continue in this awesome book, the Book of Ruth. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this teaching, that you would speak to us mightily in and through it, Lord, and God, that you would be glorified as we see the picture here of the relationship between us as born-again believers, as your sons and daughters, and you, our Heavenly Father in heaven. Bless our time, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at Ruth chapter 3. We're going to cover verses 6 to 18. We're going to finish a chapter. And I titled this, Ruth Submits to Boaz. Last time in our study, when we began chapter 3, Ruth met Boaz. Now she's going to submit to him and his advice and counsel. We pick up our teaching in verse 6. So Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned to himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." The time of harvest was a time of joy for the Jewish people. That's exactly what God wanted it to be. We get that out of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. I'm sure our prayer around the table before we eat would be no doubt more joyful and grateful if we realized everything a farmer goes through to help keep us alive. I mean, harvesting and threshing were cooperative enterprises. The men of a village would take turns using the threshing floor, which was usually a raised platform outside the village and often on a hill where it could catch the evening breeze. The men would place the sheaves on the floor and then separate the grain from the stalks by having oxen walk on it, or they would literally beat the stalks. Once the grain was separated, the workers would throw the grain in the air. The breeze would then carry the chaff away, while the grain, the true grain, fell to the floor. The grain would then be taken up and carried away for marketing, or they would put it in storage. The men often worked in the evening when there was a breeze. Then they would sleep at the threshing floor to protect their harvest. Well, this is what we see Boaz doing here in this chapter. You know what's interesting to me? If you happen to be counting, there are four times in chapter 3 where feet are mentioned. Ruth had fallen at the feet of Boaz in response to his gracious words in chapter 2, verse 10. But here, she's coming to his feet to propose marriage. She was asking him to obey the law of a kinsman redeemer and take her as his wife. Now you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute, Rick, wait a minute. Why didn't Ruth wait for Boaz to propose to her? Well, what he says in verse 10 no doubt gives us the first reason. Boaz totally expected Ruth would marry one of the younger guys in Bethlehem. I mean, Boaz was an older guy. Ruth was a young woman. So he naturally would conclude he was out of the game, that he was out of the picture. But we find the most important reason given in verse 12. There was a nearer kinsman in town who had the first option on Ruth and the property, and Boaz had to wait for him to act. You see, what Ruth did was force the issue. Now Boaz could go to this kinsman and get him to make a decision one way or the other, whether he'll marry her and take the property or refuse to. Now, you know as well as I do, life can surely be full of rude awakenings. Adam went to sleep and woke up just to find that he'd been through surgery and was now a married man. Jacob woke up and immediately found out he was married to the wrong woman. Well, here's Boaz. He wakes up at midnight to find a woman lying at his feet. And when he asked who she was, Ruth told him that it was her. I want you to notice she didn't call herself the Moabitess. Now she was the maidservant of Boaz. You know what she's doing here? She was making a new beginning. Ruth is named 12 times in this book. And in 5 of these references, she's identified with Moab. Remember, she's a Moabite. She's a pagan woman. She worshipped idols. Well, here she is, and she's spreading her garment over Boaz's feet. To spread one garment over a person meant to claim that person for yourself. We see that in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, in 1 Kings 19, verse 19, particularly when it comes to marriage. We know Ruth had come under the wings of God Almighty in chapter 2, verse 12. She was a believer. Now she would be under the wings of Boaz, her beloved husband. I mean, it's a beautiful picture of marriage. In the responses of Boaz to Ruth, we see how God responds to us when we seek to have a deeper fellowship with him. Just as Boaz spoke to Ruth, so God speaks to us in and through his word. He accepts us, as we see in verses 8 to 10. Boaz could have refused to have anything to do with Ruth, but in his love for her, he accepted her. He even called her my daughter and spoke a blessing on her. Well, our Heavenly Father and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, God's Son, they are seeking for a closer relationship with us. So we shouldn't be afraid to draw near and share their love. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John 14, verses 21 and 24. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Notice the catch here. We all know his commandments. Do we keep them? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We read in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Therefore submit to God, Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Notice that. You're not going to lift yourself up. God's the one who's going to lift you up. You know, if we could only realize, even in a small way, the great love our kinsman redeemer has for us, we would forsake everything else and enjoy his fellowship because he assures it of us. In the midnight darkness, Ruth couldn't see Boaz's face, but she could hear his voice. And that voice spoke of a loving assurance to her. What did Boaz say? He said, Ruth, do not fear. Do not fear. Not only did Boaz remove any fears that Ruth may have had, he also made a promise to her concerning the future. He said, I will do for you all that you request. Man, that is so awesome. That's a beautiful picture of God and God's response to us. Don't fear. I will do for you all that you request in the future. I mean, it's a very valuable lesson that I have learned through the years. And that is, whatever God starts, God finishes. And what God does very well. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, it wasn't Ruth's obligation to do for herself what only Boaz could do. It's not yours and my obligation to do for ourselves what only Christ can do. What seemed to Naomi to be a simple thing to do now turned out to be a little more complicated. There was a man in Bethlehem who was a near kinsman. You know, I love the fact that Boaz didn't withhold this from Ruth. Why? Because he didn't want her to go home thinking everything was now cool. Everything was going to work out. Joy and peace based on ignorance of the facts are only delusions that lead to disappointments. Let me say that again. Joy and peace based on ignorance of the facts are only delusions that lead to disappointments. Boaz's main concern was the redemption of Ruth. That's God's main concern for us. Even if another kinsman redeemer had to do it, and it was God's son, Jesus, who did it for us. When you see this as a picture of our redemption in Christ, it's a powerful and strong reminder that God obeyed his own law when God accomplished our salvation in Christ. God says in Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Well, the fact is God didn't try in some way to get away from this or to get around it. We read in Romans 8:32, God laid it down. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There was no other kinsman who could redeem mankind in this lost world. A scripture I've always loved is Acts 4, verse 12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You just can't help but to consider how much God truly loves us. I mean, even during the days of Ruth, when she was a gleaner, she had received generous treatment from Boaz. God, how many times do we look back before we even knew God or committed our lives to God? Can we look back now and see where God was extremely generous in his treatment to us. How many times should our life have been taken and God spared us? I mean, Boaz's workers allowed her to follow the harvesters. They protected her from any harm. And they deliberately dropped sheaves for her to pick up. Boaz even shared the break time meal with Ruth, handing her the grain with his own hands, feeding her. On that first day of gleaning, Ruth went home with a little more than half a bushel of grain. But now, Boaz filled her shawl with 2 bushels of grain, which would mean more than 2 weeks' supply of food. Boaz not only calmed Ruth's fears, he not only gave her assurance for the future. You know what Boaz also did? He met her present needs in a gracious and generous way. Her needs right now were being met. What an awesome picture of our Heavenly Father and us. Remember, she didn't ask for anything. He gave the grain to her because he loved her. He was about to marry her, and he didn't want his bride gleaning in the fields like a poor laborer. It thinks of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He loved us. He was about to marry us. We're the bride. He's the groom. And the marriage supper will take place to complete the marriage when we're given our brand new bodies, our glorified bodies, and we reign with him for 1,000 years as kings and priests. Now, why would Naomi ask Ruth, "Is that you, my daughter?" The reason I ask that is because the Authorized Version translates the Hebrew text as, "Who are you, my daughter?" In other words, are you still Ruth the Moabitess? Or are you the prospective Mrs. Boaz? Well, Ruth remembered Boaz's words. And as she had done before, she shared with Naomi everything that Boaz had promised. I love this. Witnessing. It's a picture of you and me witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. Then she showed Naomi the gift Boaz had given them. We're talking the gift of salvation for you and me. I'd have to say, a man who sends a generous gift to his prospective mother-in-law is probably a very good choice for a husband. You know what I love about all this? Naomi could no longer say her hands were empty. Now they're full because of the grace of this kinsman redeemer. Ruth's faith and obedience had brought about a complete transformation in their lives. Now, they were living by grace. It's an awesome picture of you and me as born-again believers, as God's sons and daughters. We are now living by grace because of what God did for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:12 reminds us that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 10, verses 36 to 39. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What promise? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. We're talking about our Lord and Savior coming at the rapture of the church for us. But we are not those who draw back to perdition. We don't stop and go back to the way we used to live, our old lifestyles. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul, we keep going forward in Christ. Naomi and Ruth believed Boaz would accomplish what he said he would do. They waited patiently until they received the good news Ruth would be a bride. I mean, you gotta love it. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he, the Lord, shall bring it to pass." You see, the battle's God's, it's not ours. We can't make anything happen apart from Jesus, apart from the Holy Spirit. It's God who does the work. Notice Naomi's counsel to Ruth. The problem is nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say. Naomi told Ruth, sit still until you know how the matter will turn out. You know, when you think about it, what would Ruth accomplish by following Boaz around the city trying to get him to keep his promises? I mean, our human nature gets nervous. We want to many times help God out. But when we try, we only make things worse. Stand still was the command Moses gave to the people when the Egyptian army was pursuing them there at the Red Sea. Well, there was no need to panic because God was in control of the situation. God commanded the people to go forward, and God led them safely through the Red Sea. You see, there is a time to stand and there is a time to go forward. We have to be alert to know which one God wants us to do in that particular situation or moment. Be still and know that I am God in Psalm 46:10 is a powerful antidote when your spirit is restless or becoming restless. Be still and know that I am God. The Hebrew words translated be still means take your hands off and relax. How many times you need somebody to tell you that? Take your hands off and relax. It's so easy for us to get impatient with the Lord. We start meddling in matters that we need to simply leave alone. Well, God is God, and God's hands can accomplish the impossible. Our hands get in the way, and they make matters worse. Because of their faith, Naomi and Ruth believe Boaz was busy working for Ruth. Do you believe God is busy working for you? Naomi was confident Boaz wouldn't rest until he had settled the matter. I am confident that God will not rest until he settles what he wants to accomplish in and through my life and your life. I mean, it's encouraging to know Jesus is working unceasingly for you and me as he intercedes in heaven. He's working in us, seeking to conform us to his perfect will. So I want to conclude with asking you a question. Have you put yourself at the feet of the Lord of Harvest? Are you trusting him to work on your behalf? One evidence of our faith and trust will be our willingness to sit still and let God have his way, knowing that God loves us and that God has the best for each one of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us in this powerful book called Ruth, the things you continue to reveal to us. Lord, go before us. Bless this day and bless the rest of the week as we lift it to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.